In the name of Jesus, amen. On the eighth day, Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. What a holy week it had been. Every day for 7 days, all kinds of holy making had been going on. The tabernacle and its furnishings, the altar and its vessels, Aaron and his sons all together had been kiddushed, sanctified, washed with water, anointed with oil, sprinkled with blood. All this in preparation for the eighth day, the day the glory of the Lord would appear. What a marvelous scripture passage is this, Leviticus chapter 9, to be read during Eastertide. What a foretaste of the resurrection, for on another eighth day of a greater holy week, the glory of the risen Lord appeared to his new Israel. Christ fulfills everything in this chapter. He is the true tabernacle. He is the great high priest. Jesus is the one true sacrifice. He is the sum of all. The day of his resurrection is the true eighth day, the day of new creation. The glory of the Lord's day far outshines even that first divine service of the tabernacle. For Israel of old, the glory appeared only in one place, the tabernacle, and only with the shedding of sacrificial blood. Did you notice how long our lection was this morning? 24 verses. Remove all the reference to sacrifice and you would have exactly 4 verses. No tabernacle, no altar, no sacrifices, no glory. How could sinners withstand the splendor of the Lord without its being veiled? How could transgressors endure God's consuming fire without atoning blood? Don't seek the divine glory outside of Jesus Christ. You won't find it. If you do find it, it will kill you. Without the protective cover, the glory of the Lord is death. But with the protective cover of Jesus' flesh, the kavod becomes a presence of grace and mercy. His shed blood allows you to behold the glory of God, and by beholding, not to die, but to live forever. No tabernacle, no altar, no sacrifices, no glory. There is also no revealed glory of God without the ministry of men. First, the various sacrifices were carefully offered by Aaron and his sons. Then Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting, and they came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to the whole people. Contrary to all our vain imaginings, God has bound his self-revelation to men's speaking his words, to men's serving at his altar. In that tabernacle, there could be no ministry in abstracto. Aaron and his sons were consecrated together with tabernacle and altar, all together. No ripping apart here of word and sacrifice from the men who spoke and offered. No severing ministry from minister. According to the divine institution, this ministry was to be done by ordained ministers, priests whose hands Moses had filled for 7 days with special sacrifices of ordination. The ministry was done by called ministers, those to whom the Lord through Moses said for the first time here in Leviticus chapter 9, approach the altar. Later we witness a really bad end to some men who took upon themselves the function of the office without a call. In Numbers 16, As here in Leviticus 9, the fire came out from before the Lord, only there it consumed 250 men who tried to serve the altar when the Lord had not said to them, "Draw near." But here in Leviticus 9, we see what happens when the divine service goes on according to the Lord's institution, done by the men whom God himself has placed in office. Through their ministry of word and sacrifice, the glory of the Lord appeared. Then fire went out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the pieces of fat. In this way, God testified that the tabernacle, its service, its sacrifices, its ministry were acceptable to him. All of this foreshadows the true divine service offered by Christ. As Aaron offered sacrifices to atone for the people, so Christ offered himself once for all. His resurrection on the eighth day is the fire of the Lord that declares to all, "It is finished. Sin is atoned for. Come, my people, behold my glory, now and forever, in the face of my beloved Son." Where may we see the glory of Christ? Not on a hill far away, not in the inner feelings close by, and not when our faith ascends up into heaven in some mysterious way. Christ still calls men, through whose ministry his glory still manifests itself to the whole people. No, these men don't offer sacrifices as Aaron did. Christ's sinless self-offering has brought an end to all of that. Christ's ministers speak words of blessing to the people and hand out the sacraments of his once-for-all perfect sacrifice. With their mouths, they proclaim him who is our chatat, our sin offering, whose blood covers all our sin. They proclaim him who is our olah, our whole offering, who has offered himself entirely to the Father as a sweet-smelling savor. With their hands, these ministers give out the crucified body of him who is our shalamim, our peace offering. His death on the altar of the cross has reconciled us with God and unites us with God and one another as we eat together his holy flesh. When all is done according to his divine mandate by those whom he has put there to do it, we may be certain that the glory of the Lord is manifest, not to destroy but to save, not to kill but to make alive. For this ministry is none other than Christ's own ministry, completed on the cross, crowned by the empty tomb, and extended by him through his called servants to the end of the age. Yes, the risen Lord manifests himself today through the gospel ministry. Without men to fill the office, this wouldn't happen. But a holy privilege, and what an awesome task. Who is fit for such things? Aaron? The man who made the golden calf? We know almost nothing about Aaron's people skills or about his son's rapport with the youth. All we know for certain about these men is that they were sinners. 7 days of ordination, as though one of our one-hour ordination services wouldn't have been enough. 7 days of washing with water, 7 days of anointing with oil, of sprinkling with blood, wearing holy garments, and eating holy food. How could they get any more holy than that? Yet on the eighth day, they still had to atone for themselves, as well as for the people. Underneath those glorious priestly garments, they were still exactly what all the rest of the people were. Sinners in need of forgiveness. Yet the same Lord who put them in office also sanctified them, covered their sin so that their frail flesh might nevertheless serve as an instrument of his divine glory. For those of you who have received divine calls this past week, there's not much hope as far as your person is concerned. The apology says that human nature is growing gradually weaker. How far it has regressed from the days of Aaron. Yet for you, there is a greater holiness than for him, a holiness Aaron only tasted of. The Lord sanctifies you not with the blood of calves and rams, but with his own blood. He will anoint you for service with a holy oil that surpasses the anointing oil of the tabernacle. He will vest you with his own glory and beauty to the end that through your mouth and through your hands, he may put his blessing upon the people you serve and show them his saving glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.